We got training camp to talk about. We are going to recap a little yesterday. Got cut down because of the storm. We're going to recap today. You all know why TD's rubbing his hands together. TD, tell him before I hit the intro, why are you rubbing your hands, TD?
Tua just threw another pick in Atlanta.
What is up, fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Friday. The weekend is upon us, and we have a scrimmage tomorrow. So hopefully you guys will be there tomorrow. What?
It may or may not be a scrimmage.
Technically, every day is a scrimmage.
But didn't they advertise it as a scrimmage?
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm not advertising it as a scrimmage.
No. It's a regular practice.
I thought it was like a stadium scrimmage or something like that.
Stadium practice,
dress rehearsal. Everybody's going to be in full gear. And 50 minutes to an hour of 11-on-11s, isn't that a scrimmage? Even though that's every day?
Well, if there's no light tackling.
But according to Halfley, there's kind of live tackling every day, which I...
We'll talk about that. Let's real quick.
Go ahead.
Shout out the sponsors and Prize Picks. Use that promo code. First, you got to click the link in the description. Then after you do that, you put that promo coin. And if you're a new user, you play $5 and you win. I didn't say if, because I know you will. You get $150 using that promo code. So go use it. Go check it out. We also have SeatGeek. They're gone. It's just me. It's my show now. I don't know why that happened. We got SeatGeek here. Speaking of me, let's hear what I have to say about SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love, love, love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app. Again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. Shout out to all the pairs. So anyway, let's get into camp. So you guys were, I'm going to ask about yesterday first. We had Omar and Alan were there. Again, there was lightning in the area, so they went into the dome. They did eventually go back outside. What did you feel from yesterday's practice? From what I was reading, it was all right, I guess. I'm going to start with Alan. Alan, what did you pick up from yesterday's practice? Just give us a quick synopsis, the good, the bad, whatever.
I can't even remember yesterday's practice. But I do remember it was very nondescript. It was very ho-hum. There were no pads. It wasn't a high-intensity practice, as Jeff Heffley likes to call them. And I'm trying to think if anybody, it was funny too, because actually Mark Gronowski had his best practice yesterday, and then today he wasn't good, and then he went bye-bye.
He gone.
But I am hard-pressed to try to remember exactly who stood out yesterday, who didn't.
I'm going to tell you right now, Chris Bell did his second day of on-field work. Willie Gay tipped a pass from Cam Miller and intercepted it. Riley missed a field goal attempt of 46 and 55.
You're looking at your practice recap from yesterday, aren't you? You're cheating. So I'm trying to go back.
I am cheating.
Give him credit, though. He was a week for special teams. So.
Yeah. And I gave my stock down to Patrick Paul, who false started twice, including a critical fourth and one. That became a fourth and five, and Patrick Paul had that same false start issue today as well.
And he got beat, in pass pro also. I thought he had a really rough day today, worse than yesterday.
to go off of what Alan said, today there were some roster moves because there was roster moves on Wednesday. There was roster moves on Wednesday. But today we have signed safety Tanner Wall, claim cornerback Amir Harvey off from Pittsburgh. And then we have waived quarterback Mark Gronowski and waived/injured safety Omar Brown. Is Amir Harvey a safety? Because they're saying he's a cornerback.
He's a cornerback.
So we're down even more at safety.
It is what it is.
And by the way, this should be noted, those two guys are both rookie free agents.
We saw some workout guys today too. So, and I believe one of them was a safety. I just can't recognize who. No,
the five tryout guys were five tight ends. The only one with any, trust me on this, one with any sort of NFL experience is Trey McKitty, who played at Georgia, was a third round pick of the Chargers in 2021. I want to say when I did the research on him, and just never panned out in the NFL.
So we got some concern for tight ends. Okay.
Well, you got Greg Dulcich, who was wearing the red jersey again today, and you got Ben Sims, who's been out for the past couple of practices.
So then you got today's practice, which it seemed like Malik Willis was the only quarterback that was good today, from what, again, I'm reading, because Gronowski threw two interceptions, Quinn Ewers threw two interceptions. Had that nice play to Caleb Douglas. Go ahead, Alan.
But in fairness to Quinn Ewers, his two picks went off the hands of receivers, including one that was a deep pass to Tutu Atwell on the left sideline, which took too long to get on number one, which also hung in the air too much. Still got to Atwell's hands before anybody else, and Miles Battle, who was in coverage, basically ran by Atwell and like, no, give me this, and ripped the ball out of his hand.
Snatched it right out of his hand.
And the other one was a kind of a high throw to Terrace Marshall Jr. in the middle of the field. And as has been the case kind of throughout training camp, Marshall just does not have good hands, and he couldn't secure the ball and boot run right back into. I think that might have been also Battle for that other one. In fact, I know it was.
So, again, we have the issue with these receivers and the tip passes, and then we have Adam Schefter coming out saying that the Dolphins made a call to Stephon Diggs. Again, a call could be a call. A call could be like, hey, what do you get? A call
could have been made in February. Exactly. No, April. Not to say that they shouldn't be interested in Stephon Diggs. In fact, Stephon trains down here. Should they have kicked those tires? Absolutely. Because in my opinion, I think what Malik Willis is needing and lacking is an alpha wide receiver. He needs an alpha. Now, is Caleb Douglas evolving? Is Malik Washington evolving, improving? Absolutely. But neither of them are alpha receivers.
Yeah, because Caleb, go ahead, Alan.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, again, look at who the guys they're signing and even bringing in for tryouts. Almost without fail, they're guys with no NFL experience, very little NFL experience, or failed first-round picks who are trying to get their careers back on track, like Clelin Ferrell, like Jalen Reagor, and like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who they brought in for a tryout. Tell me where Stephon Diggs fits in there.
Receiver, baby. Big target.
He makes a difference between what, 4 wins and 7 wins, maybe? In a wildly best case scenario?
Maybe he helps you evaluate Malik Willis better. Not to say that I am a big Stephon Diggs fan, but I don't think he fits here, especially when you're trying to prevent alphas and egos and divas and prima donnas and mercenaries from your roster. Stephon Diggs can safely be put in the mercenary category.
Yeah,
Didn't you say just 2 days ago that you didn't want any mercenaries anymore?
Who, me?
Yes.
I don't know if I said I didn't want any mercenaries anymore. You know, I like players. I like playmakers. And I'm not as scared of a diva. So, not a joke.
Caleb Douglas is you know, again, this is what I'm reading. You guys are seeing it with your own eyes, but you know, he's getting better and better as the practices are going on. And, you know, Omar talked about that he's starting to get into a groove, starting to heat up a little bit. Is it something that you are also physically noticing at camp, that like he's being targeted more, he's making better catches, he's getting more separation? Is that something you guys are noticing?
Not really.
I would credit a lot of his emergence on better chemistry with Malik Willis and then the caliber of cornerback that he's facing. I have a thing up where my 10 guys that I need to see more from, 10 guys who are falling short of expectations in the first week of training camp, and Juju Brents is in that list. I think Juju's a very talented cornerback. Right now, I think he's cornerback number 3, if not 4. I said what I said.
Yes, you did.
Like, okay, have you seen him? Does he might be the only guy without an interception right now.
So what? Big Whoop, all the interceptions are off. Big Whoop. How many passes have you seen completed against him?
A lot, especially really? When Caleb Douglas is running routes.
Really? Because to me, it still looked like it was Jason Marshall who got beat deep by
– Today. Caleb Douglas hasn't just shown up today. Caleb Douglas has been – doing all right. I'm not a hype rookies up kind of guy, but Caleb Douglas is getting open. He's making plays. He's developing chemistry. He's creating a window for his quarterback. And you know who he's creating that window against? Juju Brents, usually.
TD, what did you see at camp today? What are some of the things that stood out to you?
Where's this crown? TD didn't bring his crown.
Oh, no. Where's the tiara?
It ain't a tiara. It is a king's crown, and those who do not answer to the king will pay when time comes. Doug, camp today, you know, I think what set the tone for camp today was Jeff Hapley's press conference with these gentlemen when he said, you know, up until this point, everything to a degree has been scripted. We kind of know what we were going to run. We know what we were going to do. Today, we're just going to be on the sideline, call the plays, call it in. Defense don't know what to expect. They'll get the play call. Offense won't know what to expect. They'll get the play call, and we'll see where it lands. And so this is a real test day for these guys, for us to really evaluate them before next week, Washington being the ultimate test. And today, man, that first unit offense was rocking and rolling. I had an 85-15. The offense, in my opinion, dominated to a certain degree against the defense. Yeah, the defense came up with maybe a handful of plays in the trenches, but the O-line probably played his best football. Yeah, O-line played his best football. Everybody was making plays on it here and there with the first unit. Second and third unit was garbage, but Malik to Caleb Douglas making plays. I mean, it was a thing of beauty, in my opinion. It felt more like a game. And I was very happy and impressed for it to be a non-scripted situation where they didn't work on things early and then go out there and put it out. They were getting fresh, raw play calls from the coaching staff, according to Jeff Hapley today.
I don't believe none of that. But
this is what he said. I mean,
you said the entire offensive line played well. Are you really going to tell us that Patrick Paul had a good day at the office today?
This was not.
What I'm saying is overall. I mean, any game, any season, they're not going to have a perfect day. You, Patrick Paul, going to lose one. This person going to lose one. I saw a lot of good things from Caden Proctor today. I just thought the overall performance of the O-line was acceptable. That's better than what we've seen. So I got to take that as a win.
Austin Jackson
actually made some plays today.
Austin's name, especially this guy down here.
He looked good today. He did look good.
Austin's like, I heard what y'all been saying about me.
By the way, Proctor in the one-on-ones, because they did one-on-ones today because they were back in pads. I mean, I was gonna do the exact same thing like this when you stole it from me.
Yeah.
The thing that I like that I heard from you guys is I think it was Patrick Paul took Sealer. Was it Sealer? And he threw him and then proceeded to point at him.
No, that was Chop.
That was Chop.
Chop, yes. And he pointed at him.
Yeah, well, that was the play though. If I remember correctly, that was a play he moved early. There was a one-on-one and he moved early where he got in, he got. You saw that too, TD?
And technically, the play was kind of over when he shoved him to the ground.
He kind of threw him. He ain't shoved him to the ground.
Yeah. Now, did he like point and like, laugh at him, or did he just like point at him?
And then he pointed at him.
Like, well, Chop got mad, and he was like, ah, nanny boo boo, basically.
I love Patrick Paul, man. I'm loving this guy. Not so he's not only laughing at people, now he's just pointing at them.
Very disrespectful. We don't.
It was that. Very disrespectful.
Oh, but yeah. Omar, you tweeted out you expected a fight today. Was there some scrimmage at all? Like any like scuffling or no?
Everybody too scared to fight. Everybody too scared to fight right now.
They all want to make the team. They all want these one contracts.
I'm sorry, Doug. There was one. I think it might have been yesterday where there was like the beginnings of a little flare up, and it dissipated very quickly. And there hasn't been. We've gone through 8 practices now. Yeah, have we ever gone through 8 practices of a training camp without any skirmish? Somebody using this crap.
You know how many practices we went last year without an interception thrown by a certain quarterback? I'm just saying.
Again, how many was that
out there? Hold on, I just want to put this out there.
We were double digits
because there's a gentleman on Twitter who said that I bring up a certain somebody on this channel.
Never.
And I just want to say
never.
I don't bring up a certain someone because he's not in Miami anymore. There's 2 people. One of them here. The other one.
They did cap in Miami.
$48 million. You're still paying for him.
They did cap in Miami. He's on the roster.
I'm just saying this. I'm not knocking
you. He's being paid like the 30 bottom 30 players on the roster.
I'm just saying the top left and the bottom right don't. But the bottom left and the top right do. That's all I'm saying.
I bring him up every once in a while to do a little bit of this.
Yeah, a little pot stirring, You're
the 54th man on this roster.
I just wanted to bring up the no interception streak that that was keeping track of last year. But anyway,
I will say this in Halfley's press conference, him talking about that there's areas of this team that got a ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
I like the honesty, and I know
Everybody says that, though.
Exactly. I was going to say, but it's just, I honestly can't remember Mike McDaniel really saying a section of the team.
Mike McDaniel slander. I really would like to stop it because.
No.
I'm with you, Omar.
Yes, Mike rambled, but Mike was an innovative genius. He's going to be continuously portrayed offensive innovative genius. Mm-hmm. Mike is going to be recycled as a head coach at some point. Like, mm-hmm. let's not sit there and tell you every negative about Mike. Mike did not run a loosey-goosey operation where the players – he ran a player-led team, which allegedly this coach is trying to run as well. Like, please stop with the Mike.
What are you talking about this coach is trying to run?
P.S. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I don't care. I honestly don't care.
It's one of those cliches that sounds really good when you say it, but it I don't know that it really is applicable in a whole lot of instances, But that's just me.
Anyway, let's talk about the injuries. Now, I tried to get the list. Let me know if I missed any. So we got Chris Bell, who's on the pup, out there running, making cuts, doing things, looking good. Now, I don't expect him for the first 4 weeks minimum of the season, but I will say he is moving, very promising. Storm Duck on the pup, as well as Darryl Baker Jr. on the pup. Those 2 injuries, I know you really can't tell us much on them, but could you see them coming off the pup at some point?
They're both working. I don't think either of them. I mean, I think Baker is closer, but okay. I don't see the benefit of bringing either of them off the pup before the season starts.
So just slow burn them, let them
absolutely.
Get back into health.
You right now you have enough corn. I mean, there are cornerbacks here from AJ Green to Alex Austin. And I'm not even talking about the frontline guys, Ethan Robinson. They're cornerbacks here that Marco Wilson. Yeah. They're cornerbacks here. They could play. They could help you as a gunner. They're not going to embarrass themselves when they get on the field. Now, do you need some top shelf cornerbacks? Yes. But in terms of bodies, you got enough of those. Well, and you're shown right now you're on 2 waiver wire claims and we're not even at our first exhibition game. hopefully by the time we start the regular season, we're at 10 waiver wire claims.
They are.
I thought Baker and Duck can get into the lineup and really elevate your cornerback group. Going to be honest.
Yeah, no, exactly. Duck,
I would not dismiss, even I'm not predicting it one way or another, I would not dismiss the possibility that Chris Bell starts
Bail.
53.
Yeah.
Well, Halfley did talk about him today. He did talk about it.
Talked about it, and he said it would definitely benefit him. Mm-hmm. However, they're not going to rush it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want him. The fact that he's worked on the field in front of us for three straight days, that's kind of encouraging.
I'm starting to feel like the worst case scenario is week four.
And it's funny too, because you know, just like Sunday's practice, the second where you know they were letting the ball fly, you know for a fact they had Chris Bell out there working out in front of everyone on purpose. So everyone's like with their binoculars out. There he is.
Selling
there
hope. He is. Selling hope.
There you go.
Oh, stop it, Omar. He's gonna be amazing.
Also got,
wrong. He's not wrong.
This organization, you don't have to work him out in front of us. You don't.
Just put him in the dome, man.
You're choosing to, which is cool with me.
But they're trying to let everybody know, hey, don't forget what we got over here. Don't forget.
Selling hope, TD.
That's selling facts. Y'all can confuse hope with facts.
That's selling hope. They're like fans. You see this mediocre batch of wide receivers, but we got one right over there. You see him. He's a dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's one thing this organization can do, like magicians, masters, itself.
This is true. It's true. Better than anybody.
Yep. Yeah.
We got the safeties, Lonnie Johnson and Dante Trader. Now, Omar, you tweeted out that he was working stretching and then he came out.
He was doing his rehab assignment, and then he came out. But I figured out what it is. He came out to watch with his helmet, but he's got one of those helmets with the coach's calls in it. So he was listening to calls.
Gotcha. Okay. We got Dulcich, red jersey. Which hand is it?
Right
hand. Is it like a full tapage or is it fingers?
Fingers.
Gotcha. Ben Sims.
The fans can see it. I can see it. Well, I gotta ignore it.
Okay.
Ben Sims, Jameer Salier, and did I miss one?
Kevin Coleman Jr.
What happened to Kevin Coleman Jr.?
Well, we don't know. They're not telling us injuries, which is fine.
Keeping it tight to the chest.
Part of the regular season, though, you'll have a body part.
Yeah, it's part of the gamesmanship.
I have a question for the panel. I'm the question guy because I'm never at camp, which breaks my heart.
Austin Jackson was back. You should point that out. And looked like
Austin Jackson, yes.
And played very well today.
Shockingly well.
I was going to put a meme up of, but I didn't want to go too far with
Austin memes. Jackson should be an everyday guy, every other day guy.
Yeah. Don't. You ever see the meme of
why Wolverine? Poupart? Why Poupart? Why?
Because you can't. First of all, does it really strike you as a load management type of coaching staff under Jeff Halfley?
It does not. Okay. It does.
Yeah,
not.
But they might learn the hard way.
Do you want your right tackle on the field or do you want Charlie Heck on the field? You tell me.
Well, that's a heck of a tough choice. Hold on.
Well, I was about to ask you guys. I was going to tell you my meme joke, but who cares about that anyway? So let me ask you guys. Keon Smith, Doo-Doo Butter got cut. At what point are we going to see Charlie Heck get cut? Or do they not have enough tackles to cut?
Damn.
Said player.
B. Right now. B.
Because from what I'm hearing, and again, I'm not there, he ain't doing well. Because Austin Jackson's in there, he's holding Chop at some point. You put Charlie Heck in, it's a revolving door for Chop, and all of a sudden, you know, he's back.
It's not just Chop beating up on Charlie Heck, though. And that's where the evaluation comes in, because everybody's beating up on Charlie Heck. And it's not just Charlie Heck that's getting beat. Cox is getting beat. Klein is getting beat. It's not good. Your tackle play is not good. If I had to rank it as biggest concerns on the team, but I say this every year and fans think I'm just repeat the same message every year. Your backup tackles are trash. Like Larry Bourne was trash and then he became respectable. So let's be patient here.
I think that kind of coincides with the roster concerns is that depth. Now, is it depth throughout the team besides linebacker? I don't think linebacker
Everywhere,
like including linebacker.
So there's a depth concern at linebacker as well?
Yeah, depth concern everywhere.
Why is there a concern at linebacker and running back?
Because you've got three young rookies that are going to play, and they're going to make – they're all the backups, and they're all going to make backup mistakes and play like backups.
Right, but that's not a depth issue.
Just because you're playing a rookie doesn't mean he's ready to be playing.
Hold on.
Appearance issue. You're not changing them.
They're all backups? I think we need to revisit that. I don't think they're all backups. And there's a linebacker that's a rookie right now who's playing phenomenal and outstanding.
I would not say that. Phenomenal and outstanding?
Yeah, really? I would not say that, but he's...
Tanker Rodriguez is playing really well.
So we've already gone down from phenomenal and outstanding to really well.
I'm trying to reason with y'all negative Nancy.
What plays do you see him making in the backfield? What's and think about it.
I got you.
Let's calm down and wait until we get to some games, some exhibition games, some joint
pressure. Is he not creating pressure on blitzes?
He's getting called for blitz. Yeah, my mama could create pressures if blitz is a call for me.
I see your mama's going to get off, though.
Come on, man.
Is he not making plays in the secondary? Is he not getting to the ball very fast?
We're overselling it, TD. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No,
Let's chill out. I don't want to – when I tell you the rookie's playing – like Caleb Douglas, and I'm not even hyping him up. He's playing well for a rookie. Jacob Rodriguez – like today, Caleb Douglas would have been – if we had counted one play that would have been a sack, but it was a thrown completion, Caleb Douglas would have walked away with like 70, 80 yards off three receptions. That's a pretty damn good day.
And that touchdown in the end zone, he was wide open coming across the middle. Cass Merrick's touchdown.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, Caleb Douglas came across the middle wide
open. He was on the field when somebody else scores a touchdown. That's big.
Sorry, great play call. Great play call by they got one over on Halfley. They called
him. Did you see the replay? They had like three receivers all cut inside, and the five defensive players all like collided.
Yeah, somebody got their pants caught. Somebody got caught with their pants down. It happens. This is Caleb Douglas is probably the top performing rookie. Would I say Jacob Rodriguez is right after him? No, who's top?
No, Caden Proctor. Oh, Doug, you missed the last episode. Oh, you missed the debate at the end of the show. So you saw my five and Omar's five?
Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Proctor has – I can't tell you whether he's been good or bad yet because you know who he's going against.
Kenneth Grant.
By the way, he's been good. Sorry.
Yeah, not only Kenneth Grant. When Seelan got him a couple times now.
And he got Sealer too. I mean, it's going to work both ways.
That's true. That's fair.
Okay.
I think Caleb Douglas has been better. I agree with you. Would I put Proctor ahead of Jacob Rodriguez? Absolutely. Probably would. But Chris Johnson side. It's okay. Yeah. I would like to see it's nickel is not an easy position to play. It is not. So,
but it's right. Not like we see him. I just haven't seen him targeted that much. It's not like we see him getting most.
I mean, who's working at nickel right now? Nobody.
What?
Who's working at nickel right now? Nobody.
So pretty much the biggest test is going to be Wednesday to see what this team really is and what we really have.
Not biggest, but a good test.
Well, the first one, because, you know, we could say, so-and-so is good. And then the rebuttal is always, who's he going against? Which you're not wrong.
What you hear a lot about these rookies is they're making a lot of mistakes, but make the mistakes and do it fast and learn from your mistakes.
Fail forward fast. That's what they're doing.
Fail forward fast. Fail forward, to quote the legendary Cam Cameron, fail forward fast. And they want them to make the mistakes. If you're gonna make a mistake, go full speed, go fast.
Do it now.
And here's the truth though, is we don't know watching practice necessarily what their assignments are on every play, and they might be making a lot more mistakes or a lot fewer mistakes than we think. For example, Michael Taft on his pick. That the that a lot of the media was praising, and then Jeff Hafley was saying, yeah, it worked out great, except he missed his assignment.
When you were on that play, was there someone that broke open when he caught the interception? Like, was there like a guy that he was supposed to be over here?
That was like day one.
It was a scramble by Quinn Ewers. I don't remember. I think it was Quinn Ewers, but it was a scramble, and I don't remember.
We know it wasn't Malik.
I can't even remember today. You asked me to remember day one. Like, yeah, they can't.
Pull that notebook out. Flip to page one. There you go. Give me the
information. I use Twitter as my notebooks. That's like,
you gotta get one of these. You gotta get one of these thick boys where you just jot down all your information. it's so funny because we have the topics here and we tend to just randomly go through them because we talked about the roster concerns, talked about the depth, we talked about the offensive concerns, which is what is the biggest offensive concern though? Because obviously we have some, which could be like the depth at the offensive line. You could talk about tight end, obviously wide receiver. Is that the biggest one?
I'm not really that concerned about wide receiver. Would I like to see Tutu Atwell step up? Would I like to see Theo Weiss get more opportunities? I'd like to see AJ Henning as a slot. I'd like to, there are things that I want to see. And then also I'm going to claim some guys. So I'm not super concerned about wide receiver. My concerns are tight end, paper thin, which is explains why they were, according to Poupard, they're working out like five guys. Jonnu Smith is available, by the way. That would actually help your team, but you know, we not.
That does not fit the MO.
Jonnu would be twice as good as Greg.
I'm not disputing that. It's still
wouldn't fit the MO. The Dolphins should be trying to get Malik Willis good targets.
So was this a true report I read yesterday that Adam Schefter reported that the Dolphins were in conversations about the Stephon Diggs?
They had a call. They made a call, not were in conversation.
Then they should, if they made a call, that means it wasn't off the table. Then they should be targeting a Jonnu Smith if he's available at the right price.
Yeah, Jonnu is not playing for the minimum.
Yeah. And they're not paying him more than the minimum. So
yeah, Jonnu is not playing for the minimum.
Jonnu, I mean, we got a little cash. Aren't we at $16 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you want to spend that? Remember, that money carries over to next year.
Man, you got to go for it now. Dude, got a real quarterback, man. We got a real quarterback.
Hey, TD, be honest. What do you think the percentage is of the Dolphins signing Jonnu Smith? Be honest.
They should.
I mean, it's low, but it's the point of the conversation that they should. Like Omar said, I believe that would create a little bit of stability on the offense. And this offense is going to be predicated on the tight end position.
Do you want to improve your team or not?
You're building your team for 2027 and beyond. Even though you're trying to win in 2026, it's not about 2026. And Jonnu Smith does nothing for you past
any of these tight ends going to be here in 2026, 2027.
Yes.
Well, Kazmarek. Kolsich,
Kazmarek.
You drafted two in the first five rounds. Kolsich
is signed for a 1 year deal. He balls out.
I thought he signed a multi year deal.
No, he signed a 1 year deal.
It's 1 year. But
1 year, $3.25 million.
You just spent two draft picks on tight ends within the first five rounds. Ideally, they're going to be here past. No, I'm with you. I'm not. I don't think it's a lock. I think Kazmarek absolutely is going to be here in 2027.
Yeah.
Sadie Traore, maybe, but Jonnu Smith doesn't help you in 2027 and beyond. And
y'all keep going to this 2027.
I agree with you from that standpoint because I am at the point and calm down. I want TD to buckle up and don't get his excitement going. I'm at the point where I'm starting to believe Malik can be somebody. And if he can be somebody, I want to see him not have a limited array of weapons. Okay. I don't want to hear the excuses about, oh, he could be better next year when we get him some weapons. Okay, you have an opportunity to get him weapons now. You
pause
sitting there.
Pause the show. Oh my, you're opening up your heart.
Yeah, it's opening up. It's like,
come on, brother. Come on. Come on, brother.
Like, hey, man, he's got the arm. He's got mobility. he throws on the run well.
There's
he's
not amazing. Going
to scramble. His processing speed is speeding up. He's developing chemistry with wide receivers. We're not looking at Chad Henne. Now, can we get to Ryan Tannehill? Okay, when we get to Ryan Tannehill, I'll be like, all right. Then we got to get to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's your bar, Ryan Tannehill?
Allen, how many quarterbacks we done been through? Tyrod Taylor.
I'm just saying. I'm talking about caliber quarterback play. Now, when he start practicing like, you know, a certain individual.
Stop it, seriously.
You know,
by the way,
practice? Don't act like you didn't
talk about practice.
There was one play in practice today where Chop got around. This might have been one play where Chop got around Austin Jackson, and he got close to Malik. Of course, Omar immediately sacked because Omar right
slid now, up. He slid up.
Correct.
He did slide up. But what you want Chop to do? Be violent and go after the quarterback? He let up.
That's true.
He wouldn't have got him. He slid up perfectly. Good timing. He felt it. And you know what? They debated it after practice, and the ref was like, no, move that forward.
Yes.
He you're right. He has pocket presence, which is something that Ryan Tannehill did not have.
Ryan Tannehill is not the next step for him. He's past that step already.
No, yeah. He is not. Because Tannehill's rookie season, if he plays like Tannehill's rookie season, Tannehill lived off a 15-yard out the whole season. That's all he threw.
My bar's a lot higher than rookie Ryan Tannehill from Malik Willis. And I'm not.
You know what the bar should be? The next step is playing at or better than Jordan Love's level, period.
That's a whole different level ball game.
I don't think that's
year two. That's
I think you're gonna see it this year.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do with no weapons?
What weapons Jordan Love be having? Like
we're doing this again. We're really doing
y'all keep saying this, but Jordan Love does not have this array of weapons. They didn't have a single 1,000-yard receiver.
They just gave $100 million.
Dude. Yeah, exactly. A nice role player caught 900 yards, and they paid him for it. Because they do it by committee. Green Bay isn't trying to look for the star wide receiver. Long as you're playing solid. Listen, Watson, Caleb Douglas has been playing like Watson as of late.
That's fair. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
All right. Allen going to learn. No worries.
Come on, Allen. Caleb Douglas has been playing well. I didn't expect that.
Playing fine, but again, it's like I think we're overselling it also with him.
I'm not saying he's like Preston Williams is a rookie or Darvis Landry is a rookie.
Preston Williams, okay.
Preston Ball. Don't play like Preston did Ball.
The thing I noticed when I'm looking at the film that is being sent to me, shout out to the people that send it to me, don't get caught because you'll get in trouble. There are some one guy was like, man, I've been trying to send you some stuff, and every time I pull my phone out, they get me. I'm like, I know somebody who they don't get them. I don't know why they don't get them, but they don't get them. But the pass to Caleb Douglas, I noticed that if that was like in a real game, I don't know if he catches that because it looked like Michael Taft pulled up.
Michael Taft wouldn't have gotten there.
I don't
know. That's a catch. He would have gotten hit, but that's a catch.
Michael Taft had his hands up before he even came over. He kind of
real time, Doug. He caught the ball, and the DB behind him was 3 feet. Taft was 3 feet off. Again, with full speed, he would have gotten hit, but that's a catch. 80% of the receivers hold on to that's now.
And then he had a spin to it, too. I'm not even sure Michael Taft would have made that tackle.
He would have got the tackle. I think he would have got the tackle.
I've watched Taft at field level, and there's something off there.
By the way, he went back. This needs to be said. This is for you.
But I'm not talking about Taft, though, right? I'm talking about in an NFL game.
Yeah.
Right. Like, say you
have. Yeah, that's fair, Doug. Because the question should be, would he have held on to the ball too? Mm-hmm. Don't act like he ain't had drops. So with a real hit,
thrown a little bit behind him. We're gonna be honest about it.
No. That was necessary because the safety would have had an angle had it strided out.
I don't think so.
Michael Taft was nowhere near the play, but it needed to be thrown a little bit behind on the back shoulder because the safety was in the way. Which is it?
No, that was a pocket throw right in that pocket. Okay. The safety would have been taking the angle deep and would have gotten there, but he had to come short of it because the pass was shorter. That was a throw That was a throw, Allen. That, yeah, that was a precision throw to where it needed to be.
We saw it. He saw it. He read it. He pulled the trigger. I like the fact that when he sees it, he pulls the trigger. Mm-hmm.
That's what I told you about him, Omar. He's going to see it first. He ain't spot throwing. He's going to see it, and when he has the arm strength to get it there.
That was a spot throw, TD.
No, but it's a seen spot throw. You see it first and put it in the spot that it needs to be. That's a difference
I will say this. Hey, I'll talk about another Dolphin quarterback because you guys are so high money on another one. Him seeing it and letting it rip is a big difference from the previous quarterbacks we saw, like Jacoby Brissett. That's what killed me the most when he came in when Tua got hurt, is there was a lot of times, like on a curl route, he would have to wait for the guy to turn. And I'm like, just let it rip. And the same thing now, this is a seventh round pick, but Skylar Thompson, there was a lot of times he would need a beat to let that ball rip. Hearing that about Malik makes me very happy that it's not this like, wait, can I make that throw? He's like, oh no, I can make that throw. I'm letting it rip.
It's greatness, though. It's greatness.
And I'm happy because there's so many times when a certain quarterback wasn't in there, we had another quarterback in there, and they were just off on the rhythm. And obviously there was a rhythm and they were off. Whereas you need to be able to trust yourself, man. Just look. And I thought Skylar would have had it. Is what, third year?
Is that certain quarterback number one or certain quarterback number two? I'm getting confused with my certain quarterback.
Certain quarterback number seven, and then there's 43. How many? Wait, for real, isn't there like 27 since Marino? Like, isn't Malik like 28 or something like that? It's ridiculous.
It's funny.
We should
not be forgotten about that certain quarterback number certain quarterback number 23 was that, again, he could spot throw and know where his receivers were because he was working with the same guys, Tyreek and Waddle, and it became so many reps where it clicked. He knew where the guys was going to be.
He trusted them to be there.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's get to those donations. Garp Gump, hot take. I'm calling it. Zane Anderson at strong safety. Michael Taff at free safety. Sorry, Dante, but hang in there because you are very good too. No.
No.
Zane Anderson. I think Zane, who's Michael Thomas? Was he that special team ace that we had for a while?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I could see Zane Anderson being that style of player where
he might be the starter. He might be the starter. I'm not okay with Michael Taft being a starter.
Michael Taft's
not yet.
No, there's athletic limitations there, my dog.
I'm telling you.
Like, I can't.
We'll be back to this.
I love the try hard guys, and I love the guys who maximize every ounce of ability that they have, but I don't see the ability.
I will tell you, give you one more, Doug. Lewis Moore has a better chance to start than Michael Taft.
I'm sorry to backtrack here, but I was just thinking about this, and I think it deserves to be talked about. There is one roster concern that shouldn't be, and it's starting to be. Quinn Ewers, backup quarterback. It's actually getting worse, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's, and you see frustration on the field. He's starting to throw the ball after plays, like throw it in the middle. He's frustrated and he is not playing well.
He's frustrated, but I believe he's going to come out of it. He's not doing well right now. He was my number one guy in terms of people who are disappointing me right now, but I believe that Quinn will come out of it. Now, I'm not going to blame it on weaponry. I'm not going to blame it on his offensive line because Quinn worked with nothing last year and showed more.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just sometimes these sophomores go through these slumps, and it's not been good. It hasn't.
He's in a bad rhythm.
You could tell he's getting frustrated at this point.
Ian said, heard nothing positive about Grant so far this camp. At this point, do we chalk him up as another bad pick by Greer?
Too early.
See how he does during the actual season, but
yeah, there's spot plays here and there, but it's not a, you don't
know. He had one solid day.
Yeah.
John, been a member for 14 months. He said, we will win 9 games or more. Bet. Love y'all. We appreciate you, bud. Finlinium? He said, premise, Omar has new positive outlook. Reality, kids in Southwater running through the streets screaming, Omar coming, like they live in West Baltimore. P.S. Watch The Wire for real.
Omar's laying low right now. for validation.
St. Eddie said, I like Stefon Diggs, and I've heard he's a great teammate, but putting that man in Miami is like putting an alcoholic in a whiskey barrel.
That is correct.
Is the barrel empty?
Miami is not a place of Stefon Diggs. No. Correct.
Garp Gump, the poop you sure face for the win. There is, so we have scenes over here to the left, and there is one down here that has nothing on it just for one of you guys. And I'm going to see if I can figure out when I catch one of you making a face to just pop you up there. Because like when Omar started talking well about Malik, TD was making a face. And then there's times where Alan is just
I'm proud of these,
or just like one of these.
I'm a hater. I'm not a hater. I'm if you do well today, I tell you do well today. If you do well tomorrow, if you play bad tomorrow, I tell you to play bad tomorrow.
Like, no, you've been given an overall consensus of Malik lately, and I'm proud of you, Omar.
He's gotten better.
He's growing on you.
He's gotten better. He's growing on you. One dip day, but every other day he's gotten better.
Shout out to Ben for the fiver. Shadow Fates said Omar has to talk about number one now because he did great with no pressure, no yards, and his arm. But October, he can't compare anything good.
Got to stop about raving about those training camp practices. Got to
you know it was pretty though. Don't act like it wasn't pretty.
Again,
it gave you know what it did. It did what the Dolphins do when it sold us hope.
And then the season started.
Yep. Scripted. I mean, in fairness, he looked different when nobody could hit him. No doubt about that.
And when the bullets fly. Yeah. I'm trying to warn
Atlanta's falling in love.
I'm trying to warn the Atlanta fans. I'm trying. Yeah.
He's a starter. They're all
excited. Alan, they're falling deep. And I'm like, oh man, you can't even save them.
They'll find out.
Ben Gregory with the Fiverr says, how do you see some of our rookies' potential future? If could compare to another player across the league, for example, is Caleb Douglas like Devontae Smith?
No.
Nope. Much taller.
Who's Caleb? We don't know yet.
Correct, but as of now, no.
But just to get into it real quick, Wednesday there was a little bit of a friendly wager, and I was listening to it. I always listen when I'm not here. I have to keep up, make sure my kids are acting straight when I'm not around. And two of my children are fighting. And the one down here said that the rookies this year are going to do better than the sophomores.
Suckers.
I wasn't even including Chris Bell. I might need to replace him up in there now.
You didn't include Chris Bell?
Oh, no. Sure didn't. Omar, you is going. That's like, I don't even understand how you made that.
Easy money for me. Because I know the learning curve that rookies are going to go through. And half of them are going to be playing and then get benched and then go through their little mental challenges and then hopefully work their way back. Yeah, This ain't a squad of rookie alphas. Nah.
And the rookie Walter. Don't forget the rookie.
Hold on.
Did the last year rookie class go through a learning curve? Or are they still in that curve?
They went through it. They came out the other side.
Yeah, no.
They have?
We'll find out. We don't know.
Don't you think Biggers and Jordan Phillips did better in the second half of
Biggers,
the season?
I mean, Biggers might have a
little. Biggers wasn't on his list.
Biggers ain't on my list, but Biggers is going to be a starter.
And Phillips is the only one he got on there that I give him. Okay, yeah, you got one.
I put Kenneth and not Biggers.
You said yes. You had to put Kenneth.
Begrudgingly. Yeah. You're like, I have to put Kenneth on there.
And no take backs unless they injured. Chris Bell, I got that one in the hole.
I will say this. I get an injury sub. You get an injury sub too.
I will say this because Alan did not pick a side. I will say this. I can see where both of you are coming from, but I am leaning towards Omar. I think that having an extra year in the NFL, getting used to the speed of the NFL, I do think the sophomores will do better.
None of your dudes know what the scrutiny is like when you start screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And how that fan base, even Jeff Hafley today, pay attention to what Jeff Hafley said about social media. That's some of the biggest challenges that this generation of players face. And I tell y'all all the time, I've dealt with it from I remember when Gay sat me down and talked to me because I had too many feuds going on. He was like, you cannot criticize this generation of players. They cannot handle it.
Hey, I got blocked by two of them.
Chubb and who else?
Mike Gesicki.
You got blocked by Chubb?
Yeah, he blocked
me. Damn.
What, you got blocked by Chubb Robinson?
No, Chubb, not Chubb.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Chubb.
Yeah, Chubb blocked me because I kept saying that he was going to be a cap casualty.
Yeah.
Narrator
actually became a cap casualty.
Yeah, I mean, this generation, they're extremely sensitive, man, and it is what it is, and you know, they can't handle adversity and criticism well, and the ones that can, they dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of dogs. Gordon.
Yeah, Finlinium said, speaking of dogs, does that, how did that happen? Jesus. Does Randy Starks have any kids that got that could be signed? I miss him, Landry, so much. Yeah, Landry was there yesterday too.
Yep. Randy Starks is the defensive line coach or defensive coordinator at USF for Brian Hartline.
Only for Brian Hartline, yeah. And he was replaced at Eureka College by Deion Jordan.
Randy Starks is a dog, straight dog.
Oh yeah,
straight dog.
Oh yeah,
he is.
Randy Starks is a legend. Randy Starks is a legend in my book. Straight dog.
I know.
He was the one that flipped off the sideline, right?
Cleveland 2013 over. That's why you love him.
Cleveland 2013. Well, oh,
he flipped off the sideline, right?
But I mean, we knew Randy was like Randy, but that was Randy's personality. Randy was like, "F them coaches." Like,
how often do you see a good player flip off his own
head? Always,
like
his own you sideline.
No, he flipped off his own head coach. I love Randy. I love
sacked him. And got up and just flipped him the bird.
Jarvis was a dog. Mike Pouncey was a dog. Let's go with dog.
Check. Dansby.
Dansby was definitely a dog.
Porter.
Porter was dog. Yeah, Porter was dog.
It's like this team, plenty of dogs.
Hopefully. Ben Gregory said, how much time do you see some of the players playing Friday night? Will this have some insight on who potentially starts or for some spots? I think you can probably look more at the Giants game for that. This is just kind
of. Is Hapley going to be one of those guys that makes it depend on how they perform in the joint practice?
I think Hapley's going to play his starters extensively in the joint practice, and then the backups will play extensively in the game.
And by the way, coaches know what their plan is going in. They're mm-hmm. they're going to tell us.
We haven't decided yet. Yeah. Ian says, sure, Malik has a strong arm, can scramble, and seems to be good in front of a mic. But the real question is, does he have it?
Omar?
He said he's good in front of a mic.
He's good in front of a mic. He's very good in front of a mic. I mean, he doesn't say much. I mean, he's kind of bland.
I thought you were going to say he doesn't sing.
Tua was good in front of a mic.
Show me your money.
Way too many things that he shouldn't have said. He was good in front of a mic, sir.
He was friendly in front of a mic. He was sometimes he was like
transparent and honesty to me is good.
No.
The potatoes and Doritos.
Y'all criticizing him eating your chips at home on your couch.
Yeah, that's not being good.
See, and here's the thing, and yes, bad move by Tua, but you know for a fact if like. Say back in the day, like Cam Wake said that, no one would question that man. No one would be like
because he earned the right to say whatever he wants.
No, even if not that, it's just Tua had a different aura about him where you ain't talking to me like that. Whereas like if somebody else said that, you'd be like, all right, man, shit, all right.
Tua threw too many stones at a glass house.
Yes,
that's the problem. He was the least. How many times did he come out of his last 2 years and say, "I've apologized to the team"?
But like,
anyway, John Brown with the Big 20 said, "Glad to see y'all. Been a while. Quick question for Omar and Allen. Say we did really win 9 games or more, as I said earlier, would that warrant big free agency spending in the offseason? I would say no. Love y'all. Fins up."
They should not deviate from the process they have put in place, which is the slow build. And remember, they said draft and develop, and then you supplement with a free agent here or there. You don't go nuts with the free agent funding.
Mm-hmm. Clyde Taylor said, "In TD we trust." No, isn't that on the $1 bill? On the back, "In TD we trust." The Foo family with a big tenor said, "Omar Poop, most awkward moment in the locker room that you were thinking, I shouldn't be here for this."
Oh
boy. One that you can say.
One that I can remember, because it's been very, I don't know, for the past, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, everything is very, very structured and organized and controlled. So you don't have those episodes. I wasn't there, for example, when there was a reporter who got bull rushed by a safety named Gene Atkins.
That's Jason Cole.
Jason Cole, yeah.
Why did he get bull rushed? Now I need to know.
I'm sure he wrote something he didn't like, I believe.
It was probably Omar.
I remember Joey Porter getting into it with a reporter. Was it Rex Hadnot about? No, Joey Porter got into it with a reporter. I don't remember what it was. And then Rex Hadnot, something about a dog, like a literal dog, not a dog football player.
Kevin Burnett tried to fight me in San Diego. That was uncomfortable.
Gosh, this is crazy.
The Adam Beasley, Jarvis Landry, where Jarvis went to jack up Adam and Bo Camper got in the middle of it. That was uncomfortable. It's usually just the fights, just the players. I mean, you're walking in a locker room and sometimes the competitive juices are still flowing and guys are angry and stuff's getting built up. And, you know, like Kevin Burnett had a beef with me because I said that he wasn't a good move months ago. I said it was about Crowder. I was like, I didn't see the upgrade there, but you know, it is what it is.
Mark Gomez said, "For the defense to be good, depends on chop." Agree. Yeah.
And can they stop the run?
Gave up a 70-yard run today.
There were 75 yards. I think. Did you see somebody? Did you see the tweet?
Okay. Yes, I saw the tweet. Yeah.
Okay. Oh no! What happened? What happened? What I missed?
I'll send it to you.
Please send it.
Clyde Taylor with a tenor said, "What injury besides Willis will sidetrack the season and leave us in doubt?" I'm pretty sure we're all Patrick Paul in it.
No.
Austin Jackson did.
Devon Achane. But, leave us in doubt means what? The injury, and the injury to Willis would sidetrack the season in terms of wins and losses. Absolutely. It wouldn't leave us in doubt because that tells you you need to draft a quarterback really high in
20. Oh, yeah.
And we all saw the footage of a certain Manning throwing that pass into the end zone. Bro,
chill out. Let's
thank you.
I don't understand this Manning stuff. How great was he last year?
Not.
He got better as the season.
Better. Is he a franchise changing quarterback?
We'll find out today.
His name is
Hitter Crypto with the 20 said Jacob Rodriguez is our quarterback 3. And already on the roster. Thoughts?
It's funny.
That's funny. That's not how
he might be quarterback 3 by the time.
Might be the emergency quarterback playing around.
And finally, Golden Thumb with the tour says, "Doug, band name, I need to hear your vocal chops." You don't want to hear my vocal chops, but it was Make Them Remember. If you can find it, good on you. But it's not for everyone.
It's like heavy metal or death rock and roll.
Progressive hardcore is what we categorized ourselves.
Progressive, because I love progressive, but that progressive rock from the 70s.
Don't hide the good stuff, Doug. We need a leak.
All right, I'll put it out there.
Yeah,
Go check out the guys, Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk. TD, are you going to be at the scrimmage or the stadium tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Follow the 3 of these gentlemen here on Twitter. They will give you the play-by-play. And then afterwards, come to my YouTube channel, and I will tell you what I hear from these 3 gentlemen. Go support them real quick. Gump threw something in there. There are actually other quarterbacks on the roster.
Who?
Are there?
Cam Miller.
We're going to get out of here. We will see you guys on Monday. We will recap that end practice on Monday as well. But enjoy your weekend. And if you're going to the stadium, have fun.